Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time. If you can't listen live, you can always listen to the podcast. It's there forever. Really growing the audience on this show, and we appreciate everyone being with us. We have a variety of guests on all the time. We got a great guest on tonight you'll really enjoy, and I'm already getting texts from people saying thanks for doing this tonight. But by the way, the show is named after me, believe it or not, Gregory Crawford, and you can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at my brand new web sports page, www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. But we're going to get right to the guests right now, and this is a real pleasure. It sometimes is a little added pressure when you interview a great friend, but he is a great friend. He also is the commissioner of the Portland Basketball Officials Association, which is a really fun job, but at times stressful, at times, you know, a lot of work, but I know he loves doing it. Steve Scott. Steve, did I sum up your role pretty good as commissioner?
You sure did, Greg. Thank you.
And thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it very much, Steve. And first of all, before we talk about some specific things about officiating, I just wanted to ask you, this is not a job that you just walked in off of Broadway and said, I want to do it. You had a great career as an official. You worked a ton of state tournaments, a ton of playoff games, so much experience, and you knew so many of the people that are going to be working for you. And tell us how you became commissioner.
Well, I officiated for 30 years, Greg, and was very close to the commissioner that we had. Really thought I knew everything about the job, and once I took over 2 years ago, I realized I didn't know as much as I thought I did. There's a lot of nuances to being commissioner, whether it's working with athletic directors, coaches, officials, fans, parents, whatever, that people just don't realize. And I certainly didn't know all the different facets to the job. But it's an elected position within our organization. The association goes through a process to elect their commissioner. The previous commissioner was 36 years on the job, and I don't intend to go that far. It put me, trust me, I'd be old. But he was on the job for 36 years, did a great job. And like I said, he was a mentor of mine and helped me through my first couple of years.
In the 2014-15 season, Steve, I give our listeners an idea. Overall, not just varsity games, high school games, men and women, how many games did you assign, approximately?
Well, I'll do over 6,000 games this year.
Wow. And it's not like you can just flip on the computer and those assignments are out in an hour. You gotta work a lot on those, I imagine.
There's two people on every assignment, and each of those are handpicked and put on the assignment, whether it's a freshman B game or a high-level varsity game. It's one official at a time.
And we are going to talk about how somebody can get it, because I'm already getting emails and texts about how can I start officiating. We'll talk about that before Steve leaves tonight, but, you know, there's always some things that come up with officiating. And, Steve, I know you wanted to talk about a few things. I think it's great. In Oregon, we basically have a two-man system, or two-person, I should say, because you have a lot of women that work men's games, and you have men that works women's games. But, you know, what are the possibilities down the road here of going to three people?
Well, they're great. We have finally got three-person approved at the state level, and we're sandwiched between two states that use three-person, Washington and California. And so we've had the push to get three person for quite a while, and the state's finally approved it. Now it's up to the leagues and the associations, the officials associations, to accept the three person. And it's a slow process, but we'll have about 15% of our leagues this year in the state doing three person, and that'll continue to grow as the years go along.
Are you happy with this direction? Will it change your job dramatically? I imagine any time you can get some more eyes on the court, that can be good for most people.
Well, it's good for the game, and the commissioner's job is just is to assign people, and whether it's a one-person game, which there aren't very many of those, or a three-person game, you make it work, and any commissioner in the state will make it work, so that's not a problem. But the three people is good for the game. The game has gotten quicker, players are bigger, stronger, and they're being trained to play basketball in ways that it really demands more eyes on the game to keep it under control.
Steve, the women's side of the game continues to just kind of explode with higher talent, more skilled players, and more skilled people that are officiating that side of the game.
Yes, it does. And there's a lot more opportunities on the women's side as far as advancement goes. They're really outside of high school, moving on into the college level, they're really working hard to get good people and advance them as fast as they can, because they want to build up their staffs.
Steve, is it really important to most officials? Not everybody can do it, but it's why you work hard. One reason, one of many, during the year to get into the postseason, but that's always a battle to get there. And usually what you see is you see the best officials because they worked hard.
Well, yeah, the best officials in whoever's eyes. And that's usually in the eyes of the assigners or the supervisors or the observers, depending on what state you're talking about. Hopefully the best officials are working in the postseason. And for those listeners out there, Greg was a great high school basketball official. I worked many games with Greg in years past, and he knows what he's talking about when he's talking high school basketball. He was very good and knows his stuff.
Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Steve, I did want to ask you about, I talked a lot with Stan Love and John Spoelstra, and they have two pretty famous sons, and I'm not name dropping here. Stan and John are both really close friends of mine, and they always marvel at how great the basketball is in the state of Oregon for such a small state. I mean, they talk about it all the time. And those are pretty two legitimate opinions.
Yeah, basketball is, and people found out maybe 20, 25 years ago what Oregon was all about when we started taking all-star teams out of the state to go to tournaments in the summer. And that's when the people really started coming in and recruiting Oregon kids. And Oregon's blessed with a group of high school basketball coaches that are really devoted to what they do, and they are good tacticians and good teachers, and they're really good to work with. We're really blessed. I know there's some areas where there's contention it's a contentious atmosphere between the officials and the coaches, and we don't have that in Oregon. We've really got a good group of coaches to work with, and they do a great job with the kids.
Steve, there's before we talk about how a person can become an official, which is really an important part of why I wanted you on, there was a couple other things that you wanted to talk about tonight, and we kind of got you on a little bit late, and we're going to have you on again before the start of the season, but I know you wanted to talk about a couple other issues in officiating.
Well, shot clock is something that always comes up. And in Oregon, we don't have a shot clock. There's very few states in the country that have shot clocks. Once again, we're sandwiched between two of those. It's not a it's not approved by the National Federation of High Schools, the association that governs governs high school sports. The shot clock is not approved, nor is it a discussable item with them. So states that use that are banned from participating in the federation. And our local state association has decided not to go for a shot clock, as most states have. It's expensive, and it is against the rules. It's not just an option for a state. It's against the rules.
Is it a legitimate argument on against doing it too, Steve, that it's very tough to find operators? And some people scoff at that, and I say no, that is a legitimate argument, because I see as many basketball games live as anybody in this state, or probably in the country, quite frankly, and I see mistakes made on the college level all the time by operators.
Yeah, and you do see a lot of games that are shot clock games because of the college games that you go to, and in high school, it's really difficult to find skilled clock operators, let alone shot clock operators, and those are two different jobs, and would be in a high school setting, and the athletic directors really in many schools really do struggle to find people that are capable. You'll see regular clocks running after the play's been blown dead, or not being started when the ball becomes alive, and let alone a shot clock being reset properly. That's it would be difficult, but it's really the expense that is a real concern, and people just haven't gotten beyond that as far as the installation of the shot clock and then the per game expense to run it.
Steve, how does a person make themselves? There has to be a little natural ability and a little moxie, I think, to officiate. But how does a person in this day and age make themselves a better official, in your expert opinion? And if you're not striving to get better, even if you've worked for 30 years, then you probably shouldn't be out there.
Well, getting better is kind of a subjective thing. Some people just want to work, and they want to work at a level that they're at. And it could be junior high, it could be freshman ball, and they don't want to go any higher than that. And there's a need for officials at all levels of basketball. And those officials might have a certain skill set that makes them very, very suited to do that level game. But if you want to get better, you need to join an association that provides training. You need to participate in that training throughout the year. You need to work in the off season, basketball games in the summer. Summer is usually when basketball is being played. And then for those people that really want to advance, they need to go to camps. And a good camp, a good 3 to 5 day camp, could be worth a season's worth of basketball if people go in it. Go to the camp and really work hard at it, because they are extremely valuable.
Speaking of joining an association, how does someone join the Portland Basketball Officials Association, and can they do it now, or should they wait until September when things get really heated up? How should they do that, you being the commissioner and being in charge of all that?
You can register with our association at any time by going to PBOA, for Portland Basketball Officials Association, PBOA.org. And on the homepage, there'll be a subtitle there, or a tab that you can go to that says registration. And you go in and you fill out that registration. It comes to me. I approve it. You get your login And then you're in and you start, you'll receive information from us, and we'll have tryouts and training sessions before the season starts to determine where we're going to place new people to our association. They could be people coming in with experience, or they could be people that are brand new to officiating. We'll take them, we'll train them, and we'll get them out there working beginning in December. But for those people that are not in the Portland area that want to join, you need to go to your local state or your state association, inquire as to how you get into officiating. They'll direct you to a commissioner or an area, and then you contact that person, and then they'll direct you as to how to get signed up with their group, and it could be different with different groups around the state or around the country. But there's an association that governs high school sports in every state of the country.
Steve, what is the earliest you can start from an age level in the Portland Basketball Officials Association?
Well, for our group, you need to be 18 years old to work beyond the freshman level. You can work freshman level or below and be younger than that. But I normally direct people that are younger than 18 because I need people that can work maybe multiple games in a night, and that would mean a freshman game and a JV game. So I need people of an approved age, and 18, you have to be 18 to work, like I said, beyond freshman. So I direct a lot of those people to a CYO or to a rec league if they're younger. And we've got a tremendous CYO group in our area. That's Catholic Youth Organization, and they do hundreds, if not thousands, of games every year. And they have all levels from 3 to 5 year olds on up to adults that they officiate. And so they can place people into lower level games and get them started and get them that experience. People that I can groom and get into freshman or JV games, and it's usually a little bit more competitive at that level. We do some middle schools, but not a lot.
Steve, I think it's important to get out to, and I'll let you talk on it. Women out there, definitely need women officials, but that's just not going to restrict you as you advance to just working women's basketball, correct?
We need good officials no matter what their gender. And we don't have as many women officiating as we probably should have. And they're in my group, I don't believe there's a restriction on people. I have women that are working 85% boys games, and I have men that are working 85% girls games as well. So I don't restrict people based on gender, and I don't think any good commissioner would, but women have a tremendous opportunity, and I think if you're good, you're going to rise to the top, and you're going to work good games. And I expect officials, when they get the opportunity, to take it and do the job.
Steve, in concluding, and you've done a terrific job, and will you come back on in October, September, I guess late September, right before the season's going to get going for you, at least with classes? I hope you'll do that. I know you will. But what are the expectations? You know, if I'm a 21-year-old guy out there and I've never officiated basketball and I want to start, what are the expectations that I can expect out of level of games I'm going to work? How fast am I going to work a varsity game in general? I know everybody's different. What are the expectations I will see?
In our association, you work 3 years in our group before you can apply for what we call regular membership. It's kind of an odd thing, but in regular membership, gives you the opportunity to do varsity level games. So you have to be 3 years in our group before you can apply. And if you're accepted, then you get into that level group. And then you have the opportunity to work. Doesn't mean you're going to work varsity level games, but it's really an ability based thing in our association. If you come in as a transfer, then you're eligible to apply after being with us for a year, or depending on your experience, it could be after working a certain number of games. And if we know of the person, we're not going to restrict them just because they're coming into our group. But it's going to be 3 years for a brand new official coming into our group, and it may seem like that's a long time. After you've been around for a while and you know what the expectations are of officials that are working varsity level games, you need to have that kind of an experience backing to be able to do those games and do them properly. And we do a great job of training our people. We've got we've really focused a lot of effort on our educational program. And I think we do as good a job as anybody in the state, and I'd stack us up to anybody in the Northwest for how we go about training our people.
Hey, once again, Steve, correct me here if I'm wrong, PBOAT, Paul Boy Oscar Adam, no periods, .org, www.paulboyoscaradam for PBOA, Portland Basketball Officials, association .org if they want to sign up. And also along those lines, Steve, is there a place where they can request a call back, and maybe if they have some questions they don't want to answer through email, can they get a call back?
Sure, you can go right onto our site and send me a message, and people do that all the time. They want me to give them a call and talk to them about, you know, what they can expect. Or sometimes it's difficult an email to, you know, exchange emails and get the concept to people. But I talk to people year round about joining our group, so they can send an email to me, and my email address is Steve steve.scott@pboa.org, and if they email me, I'd be happy to get back to them.
Very good. Anything else we missed tonight or I didn't ask?
I don't think so,
in closing?
You did a great job, as usual, Greg.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I like officials and striving to get better. And Steve, one final question that comes up all the time, and I know our listeners would enjoy this. And the reason I'm asking this, I was talking, I'm at an age like the both of us that now we've gone through the people we know that have been good players, then they become good teachers if they went into education and coaches, and now they're become administrators or even retired administrators. And I had one tell me, the one thing I never want my coaches getting a technical foul. If administrators do not like technicals, do they?
Well, no, they don't. But a technical foul is just a part of the game. And, Greg, you gave out as many technicals as anybody did on any given year. And nobody ever really held a grudge against you, nor did they think you were being a hothead. But it's part of the game. And what administrators really don't like is they don't like their coaches being ejected, because that can be a monetary fine and that is frowned upon from the state level and the high school level. And the athletic directors really don't like to deal with ejections. But technical foul is just another tool that we have in our bag. We hope we don't have to use it very often, but occasionally you've got to pull it out and use that, because it is part of the game.
Very great job tonight, Steve. We'll bring you back in September if that's okay with you. And we'll discuss some more things generically about officiating and specifics. And then people can also get engaged about how to become an official. Once again, www.pboa, that's Paul Boy Oscar Adam .org. Steve, great job, and keep up the great work as you start your third year as commissioner. Well, you've already started it. I always say when one basketball season ends, whether you're coaching, officiating, a commissioner, whatever, the next one begins, and you've started your third year, and by all accounts, you're doing a fabulous job. Keep it up.
Okay, thanks a lot, Greg. I'll talk
you
to you later.
That's Steve Scott, commissioner of the Portland Basketball Officials Association. Once again, pboa.org. And if you want to call back, it's steve.scott@pboa.org, and he'll call you back and give you your information or discuss the things that you might have questions about. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode of Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz, where we talk about a variety of subjects in the world of sports, and there's no question, you can't deny it, officiating is a huge part of sports on any level, no matter how you look at officials, positive or negative. Don't forget, we'll be back next week, 10 o'clock, with the NWAC North and West coaches on the Gregory Crawford on Sports Biz program. We're here every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and once again, everybody, do not forget to make your free throws. Thanks to Steve Scott for an awesome job tonight of telling us a lot of things we didn't know about officiating and how to become a better official and how to become an official. So I hope you will if it's something you've been thinking about it. Good night, everyone.